Thank you so much for meeting with me. That was a really great set you just played at Elkhorn Tavern.
It's one of our favorite places to play. It's fairly new. Ryan Feely, who's the manager, is a friend of mine, and when they opened up, he asked us about coming down, and it's been a great fit. The band, it's a good room for us and a very appreciative audience, so it's always a fun night.
It was a really fun room. It's got a really cozy vibe, and that smell
it does that,
is amazing.
And, you know, it's weird, like, in venues like Cosmic in the Borough, where the focus of the venue is the band, people always applaud, and that's just kind of like a given. But when you're playing outside those parameters, at some bars they applaud, at some bars they really don't. I mean, you're like oral wallpaper, and so it's always a pleasant surprise when you go someplace and people are appreciative. And we've played down here a few times, and folks are so nice, and it just makes for a fun night.
Yeah, y'all had some of the crowd dancing. I saw some step dancing, some line dancing, and then just some kind of shaking it and having fun.
We aspire to that, yes.
And multi-generational, too.
Well, again, musically, we cut a pretty wide swath, and part of that is I have really eclectic taste in music, and everyone's willing to go, you know, most of the guys in the band are kind of that way, and we like to do different things, and we have a lot of different stuff that we play, our best gigs come when folks are music lovers out in the crowd, you know, because we don't play much stuff that, you know, right now the set's probably 70% covers and 30% originals, and the covers aren't like, you know, Luke Bryan songs. They're just not things you hear on the radio, so unless you're a fan of, you know, of Americana music or, you know, older rootsy rock, the band, Bob Dylan or whatever, you know, you're not going to have heard these songs. And so it's nice when you know, we can connect. I will say that's one thing about playing acoustic music. It doesn't offend, it's not loud enough to offend people who don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
So there's not
that
snare drum where someone goes, oh, man, I can't do this, you know, I'm out of here. So it's quieter, and that makes it somewhat more, it's a little more of an embrace, a friendly handshake than an all-out kind of assault on your senses. And I do both things. I play loud electric music, too, and I that's just something that I noticed in the years that we've been doing the Rangers.
Tell me about the Rangers. Tell me about your band members.
The Rangers are Mike DeLong on drums, and Brandon Bolds plays mandolin, Don Rogers plays the fiddle, and Marty Clough plays bass. And the origin of the band was I had a weeknight gig playing acoustic down at Cheapside, and I hate to play by myself. I get bored with me really quickly, and so I would play about three songs and think, well, gee, it's not very fun. So I began to drag guys out of my electric band down to play. And it went, like, from the first time, it was really good and fun. And Don wasn't part of that yet. And Don and I played together in a band called the Almond Butter Band. Mm-hmm. And we've been friends for a while. And he's a crack fiddle mandolin player. And so I invited Don to come down. He came down one night and played. And it was really great. And we didn't rehearse or anything. You know, we just got up and kind of did songs. And everyone said, at the end of the night, said, man, it was really fun. And so it kind of began out of that. And when we started, we essentially played acoustic versions of the songs the electric band played. And then after a couple of weeks, you know, or a couple of gigs, rather, where we did it, I thought, well, what would be cool is if this is just a completely different project. And so we began to work toward that end and start to play more. I had a hankering to play some bluegrass stuff, and we started to play a lot of Bill Monroe and Jimmy Martin and classic bluegrass stuff, Flat and Scruggs. And then I thought, what would be really cool is if I wrote some songs that these guys could play that were independent of the electric band. And so probably at least six or seven of the things that we did tonight were things that I'd written, and so that started to expand. And the Rangers came out of that. And whenever I start with any project, I always have an idea that, and people who've worked with me know, I can do anything for a long time if it's, so if I have some combination of these three things. It's either got to be musically rewarding, or a really, really fun hang, or I have to make some money at it. You know, and so if any combination of those things are there, I'm probably pretty good. And from the start, we had a lot of fun playing together. And it's you know, when you get any group of people together to do anything, a common goal, and it sounds like patently obvious, but in musical situations, sometimes there are four or five personalities and they're not on the same page and people have different goals. In the case of the Rangers, everyone is married and has a mortgage. And so there was no aspiration for, you know, climbing in the van and heading out for Bloomington, Indiana on Wednesday night on a five-band bill. And so we all thought the same thing. Let's try to play gigs that are fun and within driving distance of our homes and wives. And kids, I know that doesn't sound very exciting, but as you grow older, you know, all of us, you know, when we were younger, played and traveled and had fun doing it. And I'm talking a long time. You haven't asked a question in about 10 minutes.
No, you are fine. You are fine. Okay. You're answering all my questions.
I'm expounding. it's interesting to me because I work in a music store.
Right. Where do you work?
I work at Wilcutt Music on Southland Drive. And it's a great shop. And we sell guitars all over the world. And I have like some rock star clientele and people I've become friends with. And it's interesting because all of us, if we're lucky, get older. And so the thing becomes, like, for me, you know, I started working at the store like around 20 years ago. And I'd been playing pretty much full time. And I thought, well, I gave this a pretty good shot. But, you know, I want to buy a house. You know, I want a little land. I was getting married. And I didn't see any prospect of the bank giving me any money at all as long as on my, you know, application said guitar player. So so I thought, well, okay, let me find something that I can do. But I would just say that sometimes I rankle a little bit because people often don't take you as seriously when you're not touring and trying to do something on a larger scale. And a lot of really, really terrific players I know in a lot of towns in America are guys like me who just have jobs. Yeah. And they're, you know, the fact that they don't aspire to make a vocation out of playing doesn't mean they're not dead serious about what they do or really good at it. And I know a lot of guys outside of myself that I would put in that category, guys who were pros and who've gotten in their 40s or 50s or 60s or whatever and don't want to, you know, ride around and take the vow of poverty anymore because there's very, very little money in playing music unless you're a crack songwriter or playing at a one of the upper levels. And most people would be astonished to know how little money touring players make.
Oh,
and
right.
So it's a business model that doesn't work for me. So I'm blessed and so, so grateful that I play in all my various bands with other guys who are like me. You know, they're guys that have jobs and in most cases wives and families and but they want to play and they want to play well. And so that's what we aspire to when we go out and plug up every night. We want to do something really good musically so whoever's there thinks, well, this is I always remember playing at Cheapside one night when the doors were open and we were having a good show and the bar was full and some guy was sitting at the bar watching and on break he flagged me down. He said, you know, I live in Austin. And he said, you guys are like the kind of band you'd see, like, you know, on Sixth Street or, you know, downtown. And, you know, he was very appreciative. And you know, that's the rewarding thing for me at this point is to go and play well and have fun, you know, making music with my friends.
Yeah. When you say your electric band, is that the Eric Cummins band?
That's the Eric Cummins band, and I also play guitar and sing in the Almond Butter Band, which plays, you know, it's an Almond tribute band that, you know, it started as a one-off, and then we did a Fillmore East tribute show, and it went really well, and it was a bunch of friends who, again, who got together. It was a labor of love, and it was so well-received, and we had a lot of fun doing it, and then we thought, well, we'll do another show, and we did another show, and that went really well, and was, okay, well, this is kind of a band.
Yeah.
So that band, everyone in that band, though, plays in lots of different projects, and so we have to carve out time for it, and really, I couldn't, I don't, it would lose some of its fun if I played it all the time. We usually have 4, 5, 6 months between shows.
Yeah.
So when we do it, it's a little bit more of an event, and it's not like the Eric Cummins Band or the Rangers where it's like a monthly thing where I play once or twice or three times a month in those ensembles. With Almond Butter, it's a we schedule it far enough out so that everyone can take time off from their other bands, and then we get together and do that show, and it's always fun, and then we see each other again in about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, I've seen that show more than once. It's a really tight set. It's really fun.
The music is so complex.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of us, and so it's you can't throw it together. You know, you've got to spend a little time on it. And sometimes the unfortunate thing about Almond Butter is I'll be in the middle of writing something or working on one of the other bands, and it'll kind of derail that for a few weeks because I have to work really, really hard to do my part in that band, and to do it justice. And the Almond Brothers, I mean, that's the music of my childhood. There are 6 or 8 bands that are part of my DNA, and that's one of them. Mm-hmm. And I do that show completely out of, you know, like love and respect. And so I want to be sure, you know, when I go out that you know I'm doing justice to those. I always envision, you know, Dwayne's watching down on me from the.
Are you worthy?
Yeah, and just, you know, just trying to live up in some tiny way.
Yeah.
You know, to that, to the greatness that those guys had.
Yeah, those are some shoes to fill.
Exactly.
Definitely. Excellent. Will you tell me a little bit about your songwriting process when you're writing originals?
As I've gotten older, I'm able to do something now that I wish I could have done when I was young and tried to get famous. I can really think like, what's the set missing? What would be good? Oh, a shuffle. Okay, I'll write one. And so I'll just sit down with the guitar. And sometimes I'm really particular about lyrics. And the thing I'm proudest of with all my songs is if you wrote down the lyrics, they're not stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, sounds patently obvious, but, I aspire to write really, really good and well thought out lyrics to songs, and so that's job one for me. Is if I'm going to sing them a lot, I want it to not be embarrassed by it. And it's very rewarding to me because if I work hard on something, I bring it into the guys. You know, like I can tell that they like playing it. Mm-hmm. Like we have a couple songs that I wrote that are like everyone's kind of favorite songs to play. And that's a great feeling. I mean, it's very rewarding. And I've since I've been writing for the Rangers, I have some folks in the bluegrass world interested in covering some of my songs. So maybe I'll get a lot of residuals and can buy a new boat or something.
There you go. Very nice. Very nice. What is your history with music? When did you start playing?
Right out of high school.
Okay.
I started, much to the chagrin of my parents, I tried to. I didn't go to college, and they had some friends at a factory that gave me a job, and I could tell. I worked there 7 or 8 months, I guess. And as a guy who's an observer of the human condition, as I talked to people, and I was a weird kid in a lot of ways. Like I read Nietzsche and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
When I was, you know, so I had that whole thing going. And I grew up on a farm, and it was very isolated. And
where
I did in Bourbon County. And I didn't have especially, you know, in the summertime when school was out. You know, I mean, we just worked on the farm. We rarely saw anyone, so I read a lot. Well, I took this job, and the upshot of it was it was one of those kind of soul crushing. You know, you're standing on the line, and you're making, you know, making pretty good money, but I thought, you know, here I am at 19. Everyone I talked to, and this is the epiphany I had one day, people who try things in life and fail usually be reconcile it in some way. You know, they're not haunted by it. You know, they may have some regret, but they're people who never do anything, who never like get the ponies out on the track a couple of times and let them run, you know, and you just die with that. Never having known, you know, I talked to folks and I thought, well, that's not going to be me. I can come, the job I have here, I can come back and do it 10 years or 20 years. So I had some friends and we were playing some, and I thought, well, you know, I'll do this. So I began to, but I wasn't a terrific guitar player in the beginning. I was adequate, but I could sing, and there was something, you know, you always had a gig for someone who could sing. And so I played a lot, and for a long time, you know, I played my childhood band. I actually went to Florida to play, and then the heady success of playing like lounges down there and, you know, having your days off. It didn't take very long for things to blow up. And I did. What I remember is I didn't want to come home. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, I just can't limp back home. Mm-hmm. So I began to busk a little bit. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, I'll figure it out. You know, I'll just, I was making some money. And so I started to play a little bit solo. From that point on, you know, I mean, I've gigged steadily for a long, long time. And there haven't been very many breaks at all, and I've always had work to do, you know, it's a great life, you know, it's full of disappointment, but there's also like a lot of euphoric kinds, even at, you know, even at a local level, even at tonight, you know, just playing in the room, you know, you get a very, when you're getting that kind of response and the band's playing well, you get a very warm feeling. You know, and for me, it's like, you know, I know I'm kind of fulfilling my life's purpose a little bit. You know, this is what I'm here to do, and, you know, to bring a little joy into people's lives. A little, you know, maybe you've had a long week. You come out to the Elkhorn Tavern and the Rangers play a bluegrass song. You know, hell yeah, that sounds good. You're up dancing around. So for a while, you know, you feel happy and good. And so that's a great job to have. And I feel extremely blessed to get to do it so much. And generally our bands are, I say this without a trace of modesty, our bands are good. And so we're always, when we go out, we're always well received. You know, mm-hmm. we never go anywhere that people don't like it. Yeah. You know, we go some places where we're tolerated, but we never get a bad response. And usually it's good. And so, yeah, it's a great job, you know, a great second job at this point. But it's super fun, and part of the joy for me too is that in all of the ensembles I play in, the guys and I are really good friends. I have nobody in any of the bands where I have to grit my teeth,
yeah,
and think, you know, but if he looks at me wrong tonight, I'm going to kill him.
You know, yeah.
So that's the other thing, you know, where some married guys get together and play poker, me and my friends get together with our instruments and, you know, write songs and play music.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah, you guys definitely would have a rapport. What is coming up for you? For any of your bands?
You know,
three different hats you wear.
Yeah, Almond Butter has a show the end of March, March 31 at the Borough, and that's our spring show. And so I've got to get in the woodshed and get ready for that, and that's what I'm going to be doing here for the next couple of weeks. But the Rangers have another show here this month, and then we'll be, of course, at Inclusapalooza in April. We're gearing up for that, and we have the acoustic band is so venue friendly, we have a busy summer.
Nice.
You know, it's a good fit in a lot of different arenas. You know, for example, we have a derby party that we play annually, and last year we played Kicking It on the Creek, and this year I don't know if we will. I think Alma Oder might play it this year, but Eric Cummins' band plays at Parlay Social. We played the Paddy Wagon in Richmond. And have a show down there in later on this spring. So it's fun to do different things. Eric Cummins' band played at Parlay last night, and Mike and Marty, the bass player, never played in that band. And as we were setting up tonight, we were just talking about how cool it was to, I mean, since we're playing back-to-back, the second night we were doing something completely different, you know, acoustic and a whole different set of songs. And so it just keeps you from getting tired of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Because when you play, and I've done this too, when you play a lot and your focus is more original music and you're playing a lot, it becomes a lot like looking in the mirror like for a long time, like, you know, you start out and you think, well, I look pretty good. And you think, well, I don't look bad. And you think, man, I'm ugly. You know, who could love me? You know, because you run the whole, you see your, you know, you can't see yourself anymore, you know, yeah. And you, so because you don't get any distance from it. And when you're playing, you know, in 45 minute sets in your original band, you're playing a lot, you know, there's a lot of intimacy with that one little body of work there. You know, you just take it out there and put it on display every night, and some nights are better than others, and it's nice to have different things to do because it gives that stuff a rest. And we also have enough stuff to do that if I'm playing for a crowd that I don't think really deserves it, I can kind of, you know, keep my own stuff. I can let them ignore a Bob Dylan song instead of an Eric Cummins song. You know, I'll play some. You know, I only, you know, we only play a lot of original stuff when we're in a room where I know, you know, it's a welcoming kind of crowd.
Cool. Can y'all switch gears mid-set like that?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no set list.
Oh, really?
Nah.
Okay.
I don't believe in it. When Don started playing with me, we hadn't played two or three shows together, and he said, Eric, the thing I love about playing with you is you're absolutely fearless. You know, you'll do something that we haven't done or you know, haven't played in a long time, you know. And I do that knowing sometimes there are mistakes and clams. And, you know, that's just part of the price of going for it. I'm not the guy to get, like, a song list and play them in the same order. And, you know, I mean, I understand that's how a lot of bands get tighter. But in everything that I do, I like the element of danger. And it's, you know, if you start playing those things and if it works out, it's a big thrill. It's like, wow, we did it. And when it crashes, I've seen a lot of really famous people crash on stage, and it, you know, that's a human thing. I saw Steve Earle forget half a song one night. The thing just blew up, you know.
Oh, man.
And at the end of it, he said, you know, what's funny is when I was doing drugs, I could remember shit. And people don't mind seeing you be human. You know, yeah. I mean, obviously you can't make a career at it. But,
right.
You know, that's a fun thing about getting off your couch and going out and hearing somebody play. Something really good or really bad might happen, and you're there to watch, you know, so... But I feel like one of the same guys played with me for years, and it's not because, you know, I think it's because, you know, I want to entertain myself and the guys in the band first, mm-hmm. as selfish as that sounds, because I feel like when we're entertained and engaged, we will project that, you know. And how many times have you gone to see someone who, you know, has done this thing so many times, and they're just punching the clock,
exactly,
you know,
yeah,
and then you're sitting there watching, you think, hey, you poor guys, you know what's coming next, you've done it a zillion times. So we don't do that, and I don't believe in it. And anytime I feel like the Rangers probably have 70 or 80 songs we could play, and I bet there are probably another 50 that I could just play, I could just take off on, and everyone would kind of fall in. And if you're just out there listening, you think, well, they've done it before,
they
or something.
It,
you know.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great. Do you have any recordings?
No, and that's the big question, because now we have enough material to do a record,
mm-hmm.
and Don writes as well, and is a good writer, and so we have enough songs to do it. And now the issue is, do we want to lose some money?
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
Because people don't, you guys don't buy it.
Yeah.
You know, you want to download it. You know, the last Eric Cummins Band record was the first time in my long career that I lost money at something.
Mm.
And I could already feel people's buying habits changing. This would have been 2012 or 13, I guess, when it came out. And I could already feel like people weren't, because it used to be you did your CD and then you go to the gig and, you know, 4 or 5 or 10 people would buy one.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just kind of went away. And two people would buy one, or you'd sell one. And I don't have any kind of desire to have a vanity project. So I've done plenty of recordings and played on other people's recordings, and there's proof of my existence when I'm gone. So I don't want to do it. But the reason I might, and the reason we might, is because I really love these guys and love playing with them, and it would be nice just personally to have this when I'm really old, so I'm super old,
yeah,
to have this little period of my life kind of documented and something permanent about it, not just a memory. So, you know, that's a long answer to your question. I want to do it. I just want you guys to promise you'll buy one if I do.
Well, I promise.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for meeting with me. That was a super fun set.
Well, thanks very much for coming out and being part of it and having me and all you do for the local music scene. I think Lexington is a really, really of all the places I've lived, a lot of places, and one of the cool things about Lexington and Central Kentucky in particular is there are a lot of really good players here, and it's a pretty welcoming community. Like, it's a pretty friendly group of folks.
It's
not super, super competitive, and there's not very much snarkiness or that, you know, and that's a great thing, at most of our shows, for people who actually come out to see us, a high percentage of them will be folks who play in other bands and other musicians, and it's great that the community supports the musical community. The community as a whole doesn't support it that well, but I think within the arts community, there's a lot of support and encouragement, and that I'm glad to be part of it.
Yeah, it's appreciation of good quality.
Yeah,
those are definitely good quality.
Thanks.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gary.